This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
ADHD, something we're hearing more and more about, especially in adults, but there's still a lot of confusion about what it actually is, how it shows up day to day, and why so many people only discover it later in life. Matilda Bosley is an award-winning journalist and author whose new book, The ADHD Brain Buddy, has been getting an incredible response for its warm, practical, and deeply relatable approach to living with ADHD. It's not about fixing yourself. It's about learning how to work with your brain, not against it. Matilda, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, before your diagnosis, what was your understanding of ADHD, and did you ever see yourself reflected in it?
Not really. My understanding of it was mostly, you know, a very stigmatized one. It was, you know, the thing that the kids in class that would misbehave and not talk, talk during reading time and stuff like that. You know, your parents would sort of say in whispered tones, maybe, or perhaps they're an ADHD child. And I think that's how we've grown up, a lot of people thinking about it. And, you know, the fact that it's stigmatized even in that circumstance to begin with is a problem. But what people don't understand is just how vast the different manifestations of it is, and the fact that this isn't just, you know, a condition that sort of seven-year-old boys who can't sit still have.
Now, as I mentioned, you were diagnosed with ADHD as an adult. Without giving too much away, what shifted for you once you finally had language for how your brain works?
Pretty much, like, truly everything. I think it genuinely was one of the most sort of affirming and sad and but also brilliant things that has ever happened to me. It's really hard to describe. I think it was this sense of, you know, and I sort of mostly guard myself in a thick layer of sort of sarcasm and cynicism, so it hurts me to say, but it's this sort of feeling of, oh, I didn't realize how lonely I was until I heard other people talk about my experience and kind of gave myself permission to be like, well, maybe I'm not just like bad and wrong and, you know, evil deep down. Maybe there's actually something else going on because we stigmatize so many of the symptoms.
I did a bit of a call out earlier about hearing people's experience about ADHD. I got quite a few messages after sort of saying Matilda. One of them was from Sarah in Brunswick. Got diagnosed in my 40s and suddenly everything clicked, which is interesting. And also another one sort of said, I've always tried really hard but still felt behind until I found out more about what was happening for me. That was from Tom in St Kilda. So for listeners who might still be unsure, how does ADHD actually show up in adult life beyond the stereotypes we often hear about?
Yeah, look, I mean, to a certain degree, there's as many sort of different types of ADHD as there are people with ADHD. It's a really, really vast condition. But generally speaking, it is a sort of persistent pattern of either inattention, impulse issues, or hyperactivity. It does not have to be all of those, that sort of manifests in multiple areas of your life. So, which is a kind of fancy way of saying, like, it can be, you know, really hard. I guess, actually, you know what? The best way I think of explaining it would be, it's not so much a lack of attention, it's a lack of control over where that attention goes. So, you know, my adult life and childhood life now that in retrospect has kind of really been marked by sort of intense periods of like unbelievable focus where everything else in the world disappears, and whether that's work, you know, if we're lucky, or like the law of, you know, Frank Herbert's Dune, or periods of just begging my brain to please be able to focus and please get started and please do this, and really struggling to, lock in, as they say.
No, I love it. I love it. Now, I mentioned the book is called ADHD Brain Buddy. What does it mean to being a brain buddy in practical everyday terms?
Well, yeah, I mean, why I sort of called the book that is, I really did want it to be Sort of a book that can just live on people's bedside tables or their shelves, and when they're needed, you can open it. Because so often with ADHD, it's like, okay, here's a planner, and all you need to do is use it religiously every single day and be incredibly organized, and then you'll be fine. It's like, okay, that's great, but the problem was I had ADHD. okay. So it is basically, it's kind of open to a page and find either, you know, a quest to make your life more ADHD friendly now if you have the energy, or tools and suggestions and like templates and just guides to get through the days where you really don't, and you don't have anything else to give, and you need someone to just take a bit of that mental load off your plate.
I love it. We're chatting with Matilda Bosley, author of the ADHD Brain Buddy, about adult ADHD, late diagnosis, and learning how to live in a way that actually suits how your brain works. Now, I love how you described it, because when I had a look through it, I sort of received it and I thought, oh, okay, I need to sort of spend some time to sort of dedicate listening and looking at it. But I sort of flicked it open and I thought, this is like a, what we'll call it, it's like a toolkit, as you sort of said, where you just sort of open it at any point, have a little bit of a read, and obviously have a bit of a dive into one part of the thing that you talk about in the book. And also you give a lot of things there that help people, as I sort of said, like a toolkit. What kind of challenges were you hoping to help people when you wrote the book?
Yeah, look, I think there was my kind of core idea behind it was giving tools for the different types of stuck and paralysis and, you know, getting trapped that a lot of ADHD people feel, because it's not all just procrastination. So, you know, there's some days where, you know, the best thing would be to just go to bed and relax because your brain is not working and you're worn out and you just don't have that option. So, you know, here's some help just doing a bit of that mental lifting. And then other days where it's like, oh my gosh, I've got this wave of energy, I'm ready, I'm excited, and I have no idea what to do, and it's struggled to sort of know where to funnel that. And then the sort of final part is that unfortunately living an ADHD friendly life isn't only like about color coding and like turning your fridge into sort of a games area. It is a lot about that, but unfortunately there is also like tough emotional skill building that's required as well. And that's what the last part is of sort of about introspection and helping you sort of break through that kind of barrier of fear of, you know, really examining the effect that ADHD has had in your life and kind of what the internal work that needs to be done is.
Yeah, I get it. And there's a huge amount of also ADHD content online now. So how would you sort of talk to someone about encouraging self-recognition while also stressing the importance of proper diagnosis and support?
Yeah, it's a complicated one because, like, in a very real way, I first was tipped off that I might have ADHD from TikTok videos and from creators saying, here's what it's like for adult women. And I went through and I got my proper diagnosis and it was correct. And so I am very hesitant to sort of slam that information because it utterly changed my life and it's changed so many people's lives. That being said, now that I've done a lot of the research, I've realized like, a lot of it is not exactly backed up by science. A lot of what people say, you know, it's a lot of saying like, oh, this is an ADHD thing, when in reality sort of all ADHD things are also everyday people thing. It's about the frequency and severity at which you suffer from them. But so, you know, I'd say it's a brilliant place to start. It's a great place to discover stuff, but just be ready to take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt. But, you know, the broad strokes are probably good. And the worst case scenario is you go see a doctor and they say it's something else, but then you're still sitting in front of a doctor having a conversation about your mental health. And that is always kind of a fantastic result.
It is, it is. And if it gets you thinking about something that obviously you're going, oh, it's something that's been bubbling in the background, maybe it will lead you to give you that confidence to then go talk to somebody about it by sort of seeing these things. And then, I don't know, there's a community of people who listen there, but also you got to sort of balance it out with what the what their personal experience is and what yours is, and maybe seeking that help if you can, that's a good thing. And obviously a book like yours will come a long way too in helping that.
Yeah, and also, look, there's also no shame in, even if you don't necessarily meet all the diagnostic criteria for ADHD, ADHD life hacks might, you know, be really helpful, or that just that philosophy and way of thinking about yourself. There's, you know, it's a sort of broad basket, even if you're not, you know, receiving the medication and stuff like that.
One thing that you mentioned was about shame. Shame comes up again and again, feeling lazy, disorganized, or bad at life. How does the book help people challenge these ideas?
Yeah, basically one of the sort of central themes throughout the book is this idea of approaching things with curiosity rather than shame. Because I think, you know, I definitely for myself, but a lot of ADHD people, I think we've found that, you know, when you're growing up, not really knowing what was going on, but knowing that something was wrong and you've tell yourself, okay, I've got to hide it and I've got to shut it down and put it away and I can't let people know how much I'm struggling. And if I do let them know, then I can just punish myself a bunch and then I won't do it again. Yeah. And, you know, it's a bit of a survival tactic. But what that actually does is, you know, when you're ashamed of something, you know, if I was ashamed that, you know, I got really stressed out in my driving lesson, you know, and I couldn't do this and I couldn't, you know, couldn't make this right-hand turn. If I punish myself and said how terrible I am, chances are I'm going to want to avoid that situation again and I'm not going to book in the second driving lesson. But if you sort of approach it with an element of, okay, let's take the emotions out of it for a second, but like, I wonder why that happened and I wonder what connections I can make and what other things were going on and what the factors, and being able to sort of approach your own experiences with, like, I guess a sense of anthropological interest is such much more of a helpful place to learn from and grow from. And it feels unnatural and it feels yucky at first and it's something you have to practice, but it is truly such a breakthrough. And it was one of the most sort of revolutionary things when I was speaking to the experts, Janelle Booker, who was this ADHD psychologist who helped me with the book, consulted on it. That was just when she sort of said that to me, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I feel there's a lot of things clicking into place right now.
I know. I love it. I have to sort of say it is sort of refreshing to talk about it the way you do. And it's sort of not to get bogged down with too many sort of technical things, but sort of seek to sort of, I don't know, be confident enough to ask the questions, but also look at this resource that is available in the ADHD Buddy book, that Brain Buddy book that you brought out. So I really appreciate it, Matilda. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on Joy Joy and talking about your book and your experiences and your life story.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
That was Matilda Bosley, and her book, The ADHD Brain Buddy, is a compassionate and practical resource, whether you've been diagnosed and supporting someone with ADHD or just starting to ask questions about your own brain. And the book is out now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.